Hey there, this is Christina South
and Lewis South,
and we want to welcome you to the first episode of The Crunchy Christian.
Yay!
So we are excited about starting this radio show for you guys. We are going to be exploring green living, faith, healthy eating tips, and share parenting stories and advice because we have lots.
Yeah, we've got four kids, so we have a little bit of a, I guess, wisdom.
And we're blessed to have kids from 18 to 11. So we have survived the toddler years.
And four times.
Mm-hmm. 4 times we have survived. And so we wanted to start this show off by talking tonight about raising spiritually minded children and how we have kind of navigated this somewhat difficult challenge that we have as parents. So I think where we want to start is our own personal journey of how we've ended up where we're at now, because it wasn't an easy journey by any means, not at all. And in fact, you know, we were teenagers back in the 80s, if that tells you how old we are. And back in the 80s, religion, especially being raised Christian, it was definitely a time of hellfire and brimstone,
mm-hmm.
especially here in the South.
Mm-hmm. Lots of, you know, rock and roll's evil. Everything but your church is going to lie to you about what you need to be listening to and who you need to be hanging out with. And yeah, it was a very strict time for me.
Well, and it was really strict for both of us, although I have to say that I definitely grew up in a less strict household
right.
than my husband did. But we were both raised Southern Baptist, and so it really was this idea of it's our way or you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There was no questioning why we went to the mm-hmm. Southern Baptist Church. There was no questioning why we believed in the Bible.
Right.
It was all very much, this is the way it is. This is why you believe this. And
this is what you believe.
Yes.
That was, you know, very, very nailed in our heads from young. You know, this is how you believe. These are the only true ways to believe who God is and, you know, stuff like that. So,
and the thing about it too is because, and I'm not joking, back during the 80s, especially in this part of the world, Satanism was a crazy fear.
Yeah, it was
crazy.
I remember that. That's true.
There was like this big scare. I think part of it was, you know, this was also back in the time when those of you who are familiar with this case, when the Westminster Three were arrested,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say wrongly accused,
yeah.
because I very much believe that after hearing evidence of the case over the years. And supposedly this was done because of a satanic ritual and
mm-hmm.
these sorts of things were what we talked about in church.
And I remember, you know, hearing rumor through the rumor mill about any violent case, it had to be satanic.
Yes.
You know, there's,
yes.
oh, there were satanic people involved or there was some ritual. It was just very prevalent, the thought was.
It was crazy. And all rock and roll was of the devil. I mean, it literally, and so we were raised sort of in different universes. So I said, my husband was raised very strict. I wasn't. I mean, I remember my first concert I went to was actually my mother took me and two of my best friends to go see Bon Jovi. Rock and roll was not evil in my house, whereas my poor husband couldn't even listen to Stryper.
Right.
Anybody
it
knows Stryper?
Secret.
Yeah. I mean, even listening to a Christian rock band, metal band,
right.
that was like of the devil. So it really is, when we look back, we knew that we didn't want to put the same pressure
mm-hmm.
on our children.
To be perfect.
Yes.
And perfect out of fear.
And that is what we were raised. We were feared into our Christian belief.
Right.
And so when we got out of that environment, and I went in all honesty, I went to a Christian college in upstate New York for a year to earn a diploma in biblical studies. And honestly, that was, I think, the beginning of my deconstructing Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to put it that way. And you guys are probably like, okay, guys, you called this the Crunchy Christian Show, and you guys have been doing nothing but knocking Christianity. And that's not what we are actually doing.
No, no.
We just want you to know from our experiences where we come from, how we've gone through it, and where we are now,
mm-hmm.
and how you can help your children navigate this without fearing them into a belief in God, which is exactly what happened to us. And I went off to this small Christian college. My husband at the time went to another Christian college.
Baptist college.
Yes. And I actually went to college there for one semester where he went, and I lasted 1 month, came home, went to a local community, public university, and then went to Bible college for a year. And it was while I was at this very strict Bible college that I think my deconstructing really began, because, again, it was just drilled into my head that we really should be afraid of God. This whole idea that God loves us unconditionally, I did not get that until adulthood.
Exactly.
I didn't understand that.
And through childhood, it was God loves you if you behave this certain way.
Right.
And if you do these things, and only if you ask forgiveness after you've sinned.
And the doctrine had to be correct.
Right.
I mean, if your theology was not correct, you weren't saved, even if you'd asked Jesus into your heart.
Right.
I mean, it was a very confusing time, because when I was away at college, we were taught that God loves us and loves everyone. And yet what I saw the Christians in this college living out,
mm-hmm.
that's not what I was seeing. And so I could tell stories for days.
And then she was alluding to the hypocrisy. That's what I saw a lot in churches, about you'd say all this stuff at church, and then I'd see you throughout the week, and you were not the same person. And I'm thinking, this is not who the Jesus I'm reading about was teaching us to be.
Right.
The Jesus I'm reading about and understand is teaching us to be this way every day.
Exactly.
And live your fullest, most perfect self every day. And when you do screw up, yes.
And you're going to.
It's an everyday thing. But know that you've done it. Don't repeat patterns. You know, just progress.
The problem was the emphasis was always so much on the sin,
mm-hmm.
that you never could feel like you could get ahead, because everything you were doing was wrong. And so to get to today's topic, raising spiritually minded children, as I said, is what we did, is we had to really deconstruct where we were. Because to be honest with you, once I got out of the influence of my family and the church, mm-hmm. I did lots of spiritual exploration.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, at one point I was involved in Wicca. Eventually I was involved in the New Age movement very heavily, so heavily, in fact, that I was doing psychic readings and mediumship, and really the reason that happened is because the church wasn't helping me with spiritual gifts that I had.
Right.
And it was just figure it out. And I didn't understand what was going on. And there again is probably another episode all to itself.
And the topic, what we call this raising spiritually minded. Now the spiritual sense is, we discussed this earlier, and what we mean by spirituality is the practice of your faith, of your religion. That's what being spiritual is. It's not following a certain dogma. That has nothing to do with spirituality. That's being, to use a biblical term, pharisaical. Is that the right word?
I don't know if that's correct or not, but I know what you mean.
Pharisaical?
But I think that, yes, spirituality to us is simply actually putting into practice your faith. And spirituality, that word, has really been hijacked by the New Age community.
Right.
And the reality of it is that we can reclaim everything for good.
Mm-hmm.
We can reclaim everything for a higher purpose. And so that is where we are coming from. And so having the experiences that we have had, both being raised similarly, thank you, yet you in a more strict environment
right.
than I was, I've had an easier time, I think, than you did because of some of the things we're going to talk about that we no longer do with our children, and we want to encourage you to play with this.
Right.
Okay? We are not saying that this is the end all be all how you should approach this subject
right.
with your children. But the very first thing that I think I want to start with,
mm-hmm.
because this was the number one thing that ticked me off, and I could use a stronger word because that is how I really felt. I'm not because I want to keep it PG. But this really is something that would anger me. This didn't happen so much in my home, I think, as much as in my husband's home, but it happened a lot at school. We both went to the same school.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not.
A Baptist high school.
We did not hook up in school, by the way.
No.
We met years after we graduated.
Cool story.
That's another time, too. Different show. But the one thing that happened at school a lot when we were in Bible class and while I was at Bible college was you would ask a question. And the answer would be to whatever this particular question was, because the Bible says so.
Right. That's what the Bible says.
That's what the Bible says. That's why you believe it. And reality is, as my husband and I realized raising our children, that's a cop-out, y'all.
Right.
That is a cop-out answer.
Mm-hmm.
How are we serving our children by simply saying, because the Bible says? Oftentimes what I discovered as I became older is that they didn't know how to answer that question. And so that was the cop-out answer
right.
when you don't have an answer.
Right.
That, and God works in mysterious ways.
Right.
Really? And so...
That's what I'm asking about, though.
I'm asking.
Why is it so
mysterious? I'm so confused. Can you help me out with this question? And so one of the things that we never wanted to do with our children is just say, because the Bible says
right.
so, or this spiritual text says so.
Or because I say so.
Or because I say so.
No, don't do that to me, kids.
No. So we want, when we answer questions, and I'll give you an example, just to kind of show what I'm talking about here. We both walked away from our faith.
Right.
I mean, eventually all this mess led to, we tried the New Age movement. It didn't work. So we said, you know, the one thing we haven't tried is being agnostic and just throwing all the belief out the window.
And it was an agnostic thing because to me, I mean, I always
felt there's
some higher power. There's a force that I cannot understand or explain.
And so, yeah, I wouldn't say that we ever, but we did explore that.
Mm-hmm.
We began to hang out with a lot of atheists and
mm-hmm.
agnostics. And honestly, it was the best thing I think we ever could do because it did help us understand what we did believe and why we believed
mm-hmm.
it.
Right.
But it also made us much more aware of why other people don't believe. And
right.
that, I think, is key because a lot of times children will ask questions about, how come we believe this, but this person doesn't believe in any God at all? And unless you are willing to have some deep conversations and really think, really have some deep conversations with yourself and even God,
mm-hmm.
you won't be able to really answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we came back to our faith, if a child, for instance, asked you a question, does prayer work? Because that was something our daughter really struggled with because
right.
honestly, she was telling us that she was an atheist for a while. I mean, we were in it. I mean, you remember when
mm-hmm.
she did that?
Oh, yeah.
And then I said, well, have you ever actually
mm-hmm.
tried praying before? I said, because I think the best way to find out whether or not God answers
yep.
prayers is you actually have to pray.
Talk to God.
And so it was during this time that I was going to go on a yoga retreat with Holy Yoga because I'm a yoga teacher. We'll talk a lot about yoga and health and wellness because of me. God bless my husband. He has to put up with me, but I'm more crunchy, I think, than he is in some ways, but he's pretty crunchy too. But
yeah, go ahead.
He's pretty crunchy too, but I was really concerned because I had never left my family for more than a night at a time. And I'm not even talking about like a full night, like coming in at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, because I used to be with, I used to be with a paranormal group. And so I would be out really late when I was doing stuff with them. That was the extent of it. And then I think you went to like a Promise Keepers thing years and years ago when we first got married for a couple of nights. Yeah. But that's it, y'all. So I was terrified. And I really didn't know anyone that I was going to, you know, that I was going on this trip. And I decided to take Holy Yoga's trauma sensitive training. And it was there that I'm listening to everybody talking on the call. And I hear this voice say, you know, I'm Mitzi and I'm from Arkansas. And I went, oh, wait a second. Did she just say Arkansas? So I actually connected with her and come to find out she was actually going to be at the retreat that I was attending that year as well. And I really prayed about it. I was like, God, I really know I should go to this retreat, but I don't want to. I mean, I think if I could have backed out at the last moment, I totally would have. I would have done it.
I saw that too, yeah.
And my husband saw it. I was really terrified to leave my family and to be with a group of strangers.
And Rachel was.
And my daughter, our daughter was, she was really, she was having a hard time with it too. The rest of the crew was like, yeah, Mom, get out of here. We don't care. We'll be fine. But I just remember how everything worked out in a way that I could not describe it, but it was divinely guided.
Mm-hmm.
Because I met Mitzi, who has become a dear friend of mine now. I don't know how we did this. This had to be a divinely timed thing.
Well, yeah.
But we even ended up on the same flight out of Little Rock, which that's what I was so terrified of, was flying by myself. And then I thought, I can't stay in a hotel room by myself. Like, I'm just not made that way. I don't do alone well. And Mitzi already had a room with a couple of other gals, and I was able to stay in their hotel room on the way there and on the way back. And literally, it was like everything worked out that I was afraid of. It's like God said, girl, I gotcha. Chill out.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And so I told my daughter this story when she was asking about prayer. And so instead of saying, how do you know prayer works, you know, how do you know prayer works, by just going, because it does.
Because it does.
Share an experimental story, mm-hmm. something you've experienced yourself.
Share how it's worked for you. Right,
yes.
Right.
And give examples.
Mm-hmm.
And
kids are going to listen to a story.
They like stories. We all like stories.
They understand that way.
Yes.
They hear it. I don't know why, but it seems to sink in more when it's in a story form.
Well, it does. I mean, I think everything, if you think about it, even as adults, we typically learn better if we have a story to back it up.
You know what, we do come home and tell the anecdotes of the day, don't we?
Yeah.
Hey, listen to this story I heard today.
Seriously, but we do, and even my kids do.
Uh-huh.
And so it really is a great thing, is to, when a question comes up, two, if you don't know the answer, guys, listen. Look at Linda, look at. I don't know if you guys have seen that video on YouTube. If you haven't, you have to look up Look at Linda, because that is, I want to eat up.
Cute boy.
I want to eat him up. Anyway, squirrel brain, but when you don't know the answer, it is totally okay to say, I don't know.
I don't know. And let's research that together. You know, that could be another option. Why don't we look at a book? Why don't we read the Bible together and see it, you know, whatever the answer comes.
And the thing about it too is, you're not going to have all the answers. There are lots of topics in the world today that are not mentioned once in the Bible.
Right.
So what
and,
do you do?
And those are the hard ones, right?
Those are the hard ones. You can always go to, you know, when in doubt, in a situation, love God, love others.
Mm-hmm.
Do those two things and you can't go wrong, right? I mean, so if you don't know what to do, is whatever you're going to do going to love God and love that other person or bring love into the situation?
Mm-hmm.
You can't go wrong with that. But you can go wrong with just trying to give a pat answer like God works in mysterious ways.
That could
Because in all honesty, blind faith is one thing. Because we have blind faith all the time.
Right.
But to think that God works in mysterious ways is really an answer sometimes. I think it's better to not have an answer at all than to use some of these just packed phrases that
because
we just toss out that mean nothing.
When that was done to me, it left me feeling resentful.
Yes.
Like,
oftentimes.
Number one, do you not want to talk to me about this?
Right.
Number two, you don't know, and you don't want to admit you don't know.
Right.
And that puts doubt in a kid's mind.
So why should I trust any of this?
About an authority figure, about the Bible, about God. You know, it really confuses a kid not to have a definite, concrete answer. But then there's where the I don't know is a definite, concrete answer.
And it's an honest answer.
Yes,
when you were
honest.
Willing to say, wow, I hadn't thought about that,
mm-hmm.
we need to try to find an answer. And if we can't find an answer, maybe we can find someone who can help us find the answer.
Someone
you
or somewhere,
you don't have to be the only source of the answer.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes you do have to step out of your little circle sometimes.
Of your head and even the Bible, you know, that should be probably your number one source.
Well, as a Christian,
it is going to be
your number one
right.
source. But this is another thing that we talked about, too. Because it was always, this is what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
We were never allowed to even look into, study, or read about any other religions or religious text.
Mm-hmm.
And really, what that did was it kept me very, very naive about the world.
Mm-hmm.
I was very naive about other people's faiths.
Right.
And so oftentimes, especially I think atheists are the ones who get the worst rap as far as from the circle that we came from anyway, because the answer would always be, how can anyone just not believe in God? And that was the end. That was it.
How can their life be meaningful at all?
Right.
You know?
And yet, as an adult, I know many atheists who lead very meaningful, happy lives and actually
and do good
and do very good and are kind, very loving people. And so what I learned about people is not what I've experienced from people. And so I think that it's important that instead of saying, you know, if your child is curious about what do Hindus believe,
mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with them learning about the Hindu religion. They're just going to be more knowledgeable about the world they live in
mm-hmm.
and what other people believe.
And you know, when they meet these other people, they'll have some kind of understanding.
And also be able to have an honest conversation
right.
with them without assuming anything,
mm-hmm.
thinking they know when they actually don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And we can assume a lot of stuff about people that isn't true or religions that aren't true. And so it's easy to get caught up in this. And I think it's very important, too, that if we were allowed to some degree to learn about other religions, but they always had to be from a Christian author. So they were always written from a Christian perspective, which actually skewed the perspective. Now,
mm-hmm.
this may seem like a crazy thing to think about, but having a Christian explain someone else's religion compared to reading about someone's religious faith from their point of view,
mm-hmm.
being in that religion, it's not the same thing.
Right.
You're going to get a much deeper understanding from someone who was either in that religion and converted to Christianity. So at least they have a back story of knowing about that faith
mm-hmm.
that you want to learn about. Whatever it is, Buddhism, Hinduism, the Baha'i faith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know. But just saying you don't need to know about that, which was pretty much the pat answer that
yes,
we were given.
Was.
You don't need to know about that. And because the fear always was that you were going to be drawn into the
right.
new religious faith
right.
and leave your faith. And, you know, as an adult now, I look at it, if something is so true, you're going to come back to
mm-hmm.
it anyway.
And that's why we are back. Because we have found this to be the truth.
And although we found this to be the truth, we are still far more open-minded about our faith.
Well, definitely.
And
yeah.
Not having all the answers. And I like that I don't have all the answers, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like knowing.
I like to know that I still have things to learn. It's exciting to me.
God's
you know?
Always going to be a complete mystery to me.
Oh, yeah, and that's wonderful.
Don't think I'm ever going to completely get God.
To walk outside on a sunny day and look up and think, who can know God? You know, it's just an awesome, beautiful feeling to me. It is.
It is. It truly is. And so I think that as parents, we shouldn't be so afraid of letting our children learn about
mm-hmm.
other faiths, because honestly, they're just going to become better citizens of the world.
Right.
They're going to be able to even be able to articulate what they believe on a deeper level.
I was
going to
say, they'll be a better Christian.
And
you
often
know?
There will be a lot less judgment towards
mm-hmm.
other people. I think so many people walk away from this faith because there's so much, dang, judgment.
And when our kids want to read about other faiths and stuff, it will make them see how many similarities there are as well.
And when you know the similarities, then you also know how to talk to other people about your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You can go, you know what, maybe we aren't so different after
right.
all. Right. You know, yes, we believe in Jesus. You believe in, you know, for many of our
Muhammad.
Jewish friends or whatever, they, you know, don't believe the Messiah has come yet.
Okay.
So, but you meet a Muslim. And I honestly, I mean, just within our circles, I have met Muslims. They've always converted to Christianity. I have not actually met a, you have,
mm-hmm.
but we don't have any Muslim friends. So for me, it's hard to have a deep understanding because I really haven't been able to have those deep conversations with someone who is
mm-hmm.
Muslim.
Yeah.
Baha'i faith, I could talk to you about that all day because we do have experience with that and had some friends who were part of the Baha'i faith and even attended some of their events because we were so dang curious. I didn't even know the Baha'i faith existed.
I just started reading the Book of Mormon.
And my husband's reading the Book of Mormon out of curiosity because we didn't read these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah, right.
It's
because I wasn't allowed to.
It really is. If it's true, if this is true, your children are going to come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come back to it. It's like the prodigal son. The prodigal son came back home.
Yeah.
I have been the prodigal daughter hundreds of times in my life. And I promise you, I still come back. I still come back
yep.
to this.
Every time.
We always come back to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't like Jesus? I mean, I think part of me is like, come on. I mean, I think it's who we are at our core.
Right. Reading his teachings and the way he...
That's how I want to do life.
Right.
I want to love my neighbor as myself, and I want to love God with my whole being.
I want to walk around doing good.
And that...
And loving people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think that we let up on being afraid of letting our children explore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll tell you what, letting them explore, my children can talk to you about some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because we allowed that.
Different faiths, different social topics. I mean, yeah.
And the other thing is, too, is I think as Christians sometimes and as parents, you know, we are trying to protect our children. I get
yeah.
it. Oh, my goodness, do I get it. As a mom of four, I totally get it. But I think, too, sometimes we need to ask ourselves, are we really wanting our children to know the truth? Or are we wanting to simply be right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to be right?
Right, yeah.
And we don't have to be right all the time.
Yeah, that's we're going, you know, back to say I don't know.
Say I don't know.
You don't
know.
Have to be right. You don't have to have the true religion. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Well, and the true religion is what, according to the Bible, taking care of widows and orphans.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
So how many of us are doing that? It's so when we talk about things, think about, are your motives with your children literally simply to be really trying to be truthful and share where you are at and what you understand, or do you just want to be right?
Okay. Yeah.
Because being right can lead to legalism. If you have to be right all the time, that leads to legalism.
Mm-hmm.
And legalism, I think really in many, most of the time, it keeps us from growth.
Yeah, it does.
There's no freedom in legalism.
Well, there's no other viewpoints.
No.
You know? And if you don't, if you're not open to other viewpoints, you're not going to grow.
No.
And that's, yeah.
Well, and we're talking about here, don't be dogmatic.
Mm-hmm.
More arguments, I think, come up within the Christian faith. Come up within the Christian faith because of differences in theology,
mm-hmm.
when in all honesty, you totally agree about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But because that one...
Let's argue about the way the tribulation is going to be split up.
Exactly. We're going to argue about, are you post-pre or, we're going to argue...
We're going to argue about
those sorts of things. Or... We're going to argue about certain sins. When it comes from theology, we have to realize there is a reason that there are so many different Christian denominations.
Exactly.
Because
so many different Baptist denominations. I mean, let's break it down even further.
Because we're human and we can't all agree.
Yeah, exactly.
And since we can't all agree, if we can just go, okay, but Jesus,
mm-hmm.
are we good there?
Then we're good.
When it comes to my kids in theology, there are some things that I just don't think are worth beating their heads over.
Exactly.
It's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where a lot of people go, oh, but you could become a stumbling block. And again, it comes back to everybody's theology is different. So
mm-hmm.
you... as an individual, have to determine what the Holy Spirit tells you.
Right.
And you have to honor that. And we have to be willing to honor other people's
yes.
views as well.
Yes.
And again, this comes back to, are we looking for truth or we just want to be right?
Yeah.
A lot of times when we're in these theological
mm-hmm.
arguments, we really don't care about the other person's feelings. We just know we're
yeah.
right. I am right. You're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
La 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 la. I'm going to put my fingers in my ears
yep.
and do like a little kid. No, we don't do that with our children. We can disagree theologically with our children. We just come back to, well, what do you think about Jesus? Oh, okay, it's all good.
Right.
We're good. I'm not going to get in a fight about things that aren't even in the Bible, for one thing. I mean, you know, we could argue for days, should women still cover their heads?
Well,
That's what I'm saying.
And even stuff that's not in the Bible. Should women wear pants to church?
Right.
Only on Sunday night, right?
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yes. That's what it was like growing up, y'all. It's just so funny.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. This is why we're kind of crunchy. We are very open-minded.
Right.
But then in some ways, we're not. And then in other areas, we're open-minded. And then you'll talk to us in another day. And I'll go, well, maybe I've changed my mind about this. I mean, I'm just... You know, somebody did a great post about, you know, you're a crunchy Christianist, and I wish I should have a link to it because
yeah,
it was awesome.
It was funny.
One of my favorites on this list was, you know, you're a crunchy Christian if you don't think yoga is of the devil and
right.
and you need to reach for the holy water after every yoga class. You know, and I thought, yeah, it just, you know, we have found, and we're not afraid of, like, Eastern medicine stuff doesn't make us reach for the holy water either.
Yeah. Right.
It's just one of those things where
we have held on to the Christian beliefs, but we're not going to be so narrow-minded about our Christian beliefs that other good things, beneficial thoughts in other faiths or practices, if they can help us, we're going to do that too.
Well, I mean, it's like, for instance, it is a great, I think a great example, for instance, is meditation. Meditation
yeah,
is typically thought of as an Eastern practice,
mm-hmm.
but meditation in and of itself is not an evil practice. And in some circles, it is considered.
Well, this is going back to how it was your quiet time in the morning. We were
right.
taught to have 15, 20 minutes every day to have a quiet time, pray with God. Use that For meditation time. Because that's the perfect...
Meditation, to me, oftentimes, isn't just sitting and breathing. It's spending time listening
yes,
to God.
You listen. That,
you think about Jesus went out to the desert for 40 days.
And he meditated.
He was listening to God
yes,
for 40
he
days.
To
and
God.
To me,
and
that's what...
Supplicating and...
That's what
know.
Meditation is to
yeah.
me. That's why I don't have a problem with yoga. To me, it really is... Why can't we redeem those things that have been taken from us and turn them into good?
Mm-hmm.
Energy healing, for instance, that's another typical no-no.
Mm-hmm.
Like Reiki and those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
For you know, for many Christians, it's a we don't do
but
that.
Let's go back to the laying on of hands. You know,
are we not just practicing?
Yeah.
A form of energy healing.
Yeah.
And so.
Benny Hinn was doing Reiki.
Okay. He's
sorry,
pushing it
my
over
bad.
He's pushing it over here for me.
That's
anyway.
Thing. Yeah.
Well, oh yeah, if you don't necessarily know
okay.
all that. But
let's get back to
well, but I think we are. We're just letting you guys know that it's okay to step out of the box with your parenting, with your children,
mm-hmm.
and your faith, because you have to explore and allow your children to experiment. And oftentimes, I know for us, you used to think about pastors' kids being the wild kids. Remember back in the day?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
oh,
the wild
yeah.
kids.
My friends?
You. I didn't say that. Anyway, his parents were Southern Baptist missionaries, so
mm-hmm.
I can say that. I'm married to an MK.
MK, that's right.
And so when you look at those, I think oftentimes it can become a controlling thing. Where you really do mean well for your children. You
mm-hmm.
mean so
yeah.
well. You are truly trying to protect them. But in the process, are you letting them make decisions? Are you letting them make some mistakes so they can learn?
Right.
Because sometimes if you are constantly, if you're telling your child you can never listen to this type of music, typically the first thing the kid does when they go to college, they're going to listen to that music.
Or their friend's house.
Is that just not... It's human nature.
Yeah.
The second we make something taboo, it's like, ooh.
Ooh, I want to do that.
I want to get a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, I'm covered in them now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm not just saying you just let it all go and you don't, you know, you don't have guidelines or rules. That's
right.
not what this is about. But find those places where you're comfortable to let your children make their own choices.
Mm-hmm.
But be there when they start falling off the path to go, we got to move back
right,
in this
right.
direction. Like, you're getting a little too far off the path for mom and daddy's comfort here. You can do that. You are their parents.
And explain to them the ways that they're getting off track.
Don't just say because I say so.
Because I just see it. Or because, you know, yeah, let's explain to them.
Because in my experience, when I did these
yeah.
things, this is what happened to me.
Exactly.
I mean, as an adult, you've been through a lot. you probably...
And some adults have been through a lot more.
A whole lot more. That's a whole other radio show as well. But so it really is, I guess, to sum up this episode, the reality of it is you want to teach your children how to live out their faith.
Mm-hmm.
By living it out yourself.
Right.
You have to model it, first of all.
Right.
Without modeling
model
it.
Model it to your kids.
But model it in a way, too, that if you have a child that getting up in the morning and doing a quiet time, it's not their personality.
Uh-huh.
Don't press that.
Right.
Maybe their quiet time is they enjoy, you know, going to the beach and sitting on the beach or, you know, going and hanging out with their friends, for instance, and talking about God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really crazy how we think that, yes, I think that children need to learn about how to have a quiet time for themselves. But I'll tell you what I've done with my daughter, because this has worked out really well for her at night before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a morning practice for her.
Right, right.
She prays every
yeah.
night before she goes to bed. It is literally
yeah.
the
it's
sweetest
sweet.
Thing I could ever watch.
I love it.
Probably don't want to let her listen to this because she'll freak out, but it is the sweetest thing I could watch. And then she reads a little bit of an inspirational book before she goes to bed, unless she's tired, and then she won't. But if your child doesn't enjoy reading, for instance, don't pressure them to read things they're not interested in reading. My daughter likes to read, so this works for her. Maybe your child likes to listen to audio tapes, so maybe you find some uplifting stories that they can listen to. Some children just, when they're younger, being quiet and alone freaks them out a little bit. They don't like being alone, so doing that isn't going to work. But encourage things, artwork, have your children draw. Uh-huh. Drawing can be a quiet time for them. You know, have them draw out their feelings about how they're feeling about God today. Have them draw out a prayer.
Yeah. What do you want this prayer to become?
Yes. Yeah. And so there's a lot of things that you can do besides. I was always taught a quiet time was sitting down, reading your Bible, and praying.
And 15 minutes was that magical time for some reason.
Seriously. And the reality of it is, for me, my quiet time is oftentimes my yoga practice. I'm praying.
My quiet time is my 25-minute drive to work in the morning.
Right. And so,
because it's kind of nice, I'm driving, what is it, east? Yeah, I'm driving east, so the sun's coming up in my face, and it's like I'm in a perpetual sunrise for 20 minutes. It's
right.
It's kind of nice.
Right.
Anyway, yeah.
But so you have to find your own quiet time, and you can let your children kind of figure out what works best for them. It's really easy for us because we think practice works for me, that it's going to work for our
right.
children. And it needs to fit their personality.
See, and I think having four kids
mm-hmm.
with such different mindsets and personalities
yes.
and interests, it really has opened our eyes to that.
Yes.
That it's got to be different. You know, you can't expect every kid to do it the same way or the way you want them to.
Well, and you know, one of our sons, his time, I would guarantee that when he's playing his trumpet, he would say that's his time with God.
I was going to mention that. Right.
I promise you. Because
he likes playing his instrument that much that, you know, that's his God time.
It's his worship time,
yeah.
Totally. And, you know, like I said, my daughter, she has her thing. We have one son who I just don't press it. It's his personality. I mean, he's on the autism spectrum. So with him, we literally have just got, we just let it flow. We let it flow.
Mm-hmm.
And then our other son, you know, because he's older, he's kind of in that stage of, meh.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. And,
yeah.
Well, I think we all kind of go through that, especially in our young adult years.
Yeah, he's 18,
when we're starting to really anchor who we are within ourselves. And so just this tonight, we just wanted to have this conversation with you to, number one, let you know that you're not doing it wrong.
No. Parents don't. No, it's very discouraging at times when you do see your children exhibiting bad behavior over and over. It's, you know, what have I done wrong? Why do they keep doing this?
What Bible verse do I need to pound into their head?
It's a learning experience for them and the parent.
Yes, most definitely. And so you've got to give yourself some grace. God
yes.
gives you grace. How much grace does God give us on a daily basis? You've got to give your children grace.
And give yourself grace.
Yes. You've really got to, you've got to have some grace with you, with yourself, and also with your spouse, with your partner. You've got to have grace with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure we'll touch on relationship stuff at some point during our radio show, but it just,
yeah, we do.
We need to. I mean, we've been through our ups and downs, most definitely. We've been married 17 years, for those of you who don't know us personally. 17 years just this
very recently,
past
last
week.
Yeah,
last week. And so we've been in marriage long enough, and our kids are old enough to kind of know those ins and outs that have come with. And I have some family coach training under my belt, and so does my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have been studying some different ideas, too, that of how to raise your children that aren't necessarily traditional as well.
Right.
That's where the crunchy, I think, comes in, too,
yeah.
is that.
Non-traditional, but effective.
Right, right. So
you don't have to beat them with a stick.
No, and we could turn the whole spanking thing into a whole episode, too, but I won't do that. But anyway, I just, you know, for those of you out there listening, thank you for joining us for
yes.
our first episode. This was so fun to do. Lewis and I used to have a radio show years ago. And I really missed it, especially after us doing this together.
Being in this for 10, 15 minutes, I was like, hey, this is kind of cool.
And it's fun. So, we, you know, it's one of those things that, anyway, But I do want to share with you some things that are coming up here in the next couple of weeks with me. And this one isn't just directed at you moms or the ladies listening. Men, you can take part in this too. It just seems to be that more women take part in this program than men do. That's the way it is, I think, sometimes with health and wellness. But if...
Because men don't need to fix themselves.
Oh, yeah. They go to the doctor when they're in the middle of a heart attack, okay?
Exactly.
But, okay, so one of the programs that I am a trained facilitator of, it's called Weigh Less to Feed More. And it is a holistic program that focuses on helping you work on what's really weighing you down in your life. And if you lose some weight, that's an awesome side effect of the program. But this is kind of my thing with it. I really don't care how much weight you lose. I care how free you get by the end of the 9 weeks. That is what this program is about, is getting you spiritually free, mentally free, emotionally free, and really learning how to anchor yourself in who God thinks you are.
Yeah.
Not who this world would like for you to think you are. I mean, as women and as men, we are inundated on social media, on television, by having perfect bodies, perfect lives.
Men, not as bad as women.
You are, but I just don't think it's in your face.
Yeah, but...
But we're constantly bombarded by that. Self-image can be a huge issue, even as we are in our 30s and 40s, because we... You know, maybe we just don't think we've arrived. Reality is, you are enough. God says you are enough. And this 9 weeks program that I'm going to be starting on March 20th is a great way for you to refill your cup if your cup is empty. And I'm actually doing a free call tomorrow night, which is March 6th at 7 p.m. And I will post it in our group. We started a Facebook group. If you want to stay connected with us, join our Facebook group. It's here on Blog Talk. If you just find the little Facebook link, click there, and you can request to join the group, because it is a closed group. We want to keep it closed so that you can feel comfortable asking questions and interacting, and know that you have a group of like-minded people within the group so you feel comfortable interacting with us. But I will have that call information posted there. You can also find me on Facebook at Christina B. South. You can find me there, and I will have information posted about that tomorrow as well. If you want to join me on this call tomorrow night at 7 p.m., it's a free call to go a little deeper into what the program is about. But it has really freed me as far as my view of food. And I think you would admit that it has been like that.
It has. I agree.
Because I've struggled with, what's the right way to eat?
Right.
Should I eat this way? Should I eat that way?
Right.
I feel guilty because I'm eating animals. Oh my gosh, I feel like crap if I don't eat animals. Oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. And also, I really, at some point, just putting this out there, I actually want to get my doctor on. I'd like to really interview her at some point.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Jana.
Yeah.
I'd love to have her on our show, and I bet I could twist her arm and get her on to talk about how we can raise healthy children, as far as from a natural perspective, what we can do. And there's all sorts of topics we could talk with her, but she's actually helping me right now heal some gut health issues. That
gut health.
It's the truth. So funny, I know.
Gut health.
But she has been instrumental in really kind of helping me figure out what's working and what's not working. And so I'm just putting that out there. If she listens to the show, Dr. Jana, here's your invite. You're hearing it from me right now, because I love you anyway. So you can, again, connect with us on our Facebook page. We just launched. Today's our first episode. There's three people in our group right now because we just launched it. So get in. You will be like pioneers of our little Christian group, and we'd love to have you in. And anyway, that's it, I think, for us tonight. We will be back next week. I don't know exactly what our topic is going to be yet. We've thrown out a lot of stuff for this month. We are going to be focused on
parenting
for this month. So it will be a parenting topic. So you
some
you,
kind of parenting issue.
Right. Parenting topic. And it could be emotional or spiritual. I mean, it could be physical.
Or practical.
Right, very practical. Right. Yeah. So we have stuff mapped out for the month, but I don't know which one we're going to do yet. So if I tell you, I could be wrong. Lewis and I, one thing that we have learned about each other very much is that I have to trust his inspiration to a certain degree because he's just wise in that department. And so I just have to trust that a lot of times with this sort of stuff. This is a good relationship thing that we could talk about later too, is how we've learned each other's personalities and how to use it to our advantage, mm-hmm. instead of using it against each other. So mm-hmm. yeah, we have a lot of juicy, fun topics coming up this month.
Juicy fun.
Not to be confused with juicy fruit gum, which is one of my favorites.
But that could be some juicy fun.
If you want to me to love you forever, just bring me gum.
A pack of juicy fruit.
And I will love you too. Yes, I will. So anyway, there's one of my guilty pleasures is gum. Isn't that weird? I love gum. I don't know why. I just love it.
I have a pound of chocolate and gum.
And I take the gum over the chocolate. Anyway, okay, guys, so it has been really fun being with you guys this evening. We will be back here next week at 7:30. And I don't know whether we're going to keep 7:30 or move to 7, maybe. We'll see.
She's waiting on my inspiration.
I am waiting on his inspiration to decide which time we're going to stick with. But you guys have a great week, and we'll see you back here next Sunday for another The Crunchy Christian Show.
Bye.